following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 215, recorded on Thursday, March 30th, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens. Coming up on this episode, Hunt for Life on Exoplanets gets new tools. NASA forced to respond after footage of several UFOs behind astronaut on ISS emerges. And California is top destination for UFOs and aliens. Those stories, plus the sightings and our picks and warnings. Before all that, though...
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
If it meant advancing our technology level and solving major global problems like, let's see, climate change, famine, war, would you be cool with alien overlords? This actually stems from... Oh, what's that movie? What's that story? Something Children...
Childhood's End.
Yes, yes, exactly.
The book by Arthur C. Clarke.
Yep, and it was in a movie.
Or the book.
It was a movie a couple years ago as well.
I didn't see the movie, but I read the book.
Okay, so
I'm that person.
Who? Yeah, I know. It's cool. It's cool. I'm not gonna judge. No, it's a no judgment zone. Right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, who's going to answer first?
Anessa will.
Oh. That's a tough one. And with Childhood's End, the overlords have an ulterior motive to all of this. So I guess I would want to know if our overlords would have another motive to... why they're here and have gotten rid of like a lot of our problems, which a big one was violence. Technology. I guess it depends on the technology. So, cause I kind of think that too much technology isn't necessarily a good thing.
What if it means like, better technology, like, you know, going into space, like space exploration, or...
Well, the people didn't get to go to space.
Yeah, no.
Childhood's End.
I'm not... Yeah, but what
so
if...
So I'm like that... But no, I mean, I would be more inclined to being cool with the alien overlords... if they made more scientific breakthroughs as far as, like, you know, curing cancer and various illnesses, like terminal illnesses would be kind of nice.
Okay. I understand.
But, yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of nice to know exactly how long the overlords were going to be here unless they come cure everybody and then be like, goodbye.
Or they cure
the
everybody.
Planet.
Or they cure everybody and go... now lunch. We've been fattening you up for years.
Cookbook.
Are we going to be eaten at the end? I mean, so I kind of think that I would like to think that I would be okay with alien overlords. I mean, I suppose it could be worse if, you know, we end up with overlords that use us for slavery. And, you know, mining the earth of whatever resource it is that they need or want, and then off they go. So if they are willing to, you know, cure terminal illnesses and help us with our environmental woes and get rid of war for the most part, then, yeah, I think I'd be cool with it, so long as I can go about my daily life.
That's the big thing, is the whole peace. Like, I think if aliens were to come in and pretty much eradicate war and we all live together in peace, that would solve a lot of problems. I think that's the root of a lot of evil, is the whole war thing. You take care of that, everything else kind of falls into place.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the war thing comes to, like, different beliefs,
yeah,
or money or resources. And so if you kind of take away that need for, you know, certain resources like gas, oil, whatever, and make it available to everyone, then you kind of take away their motivation to fight.
There you go. Okay. Brad, do you have an answer that's different from Anessa's?
Just rambling.
You know what? I would say thank you, but no thank you.
Okay. So let the world suffer. Just let the aliens fly by. They offered, hey, know what? We don't need your help. We'll be fine without you.
We do not like to be owned. I mean, if you look throughout history, the Magna Carta, the American Revolution, I mean, we didn't want to have someone looking out over us and telling us what to do. And I don't think that it would be a tremendous step backwards as a people. And there would be those that would fight against it anyway and ruin it. So no, I think we cut out the middleman and just say no thanks and wave as they drive by.
In the news,
there are new tools to hunt for life on the exoplanets that we are finding. And it's a new strategy for scanning exoplanets for biosignatures, which are signs of life such as oxygen molecules and methane. These chemicals, which don't naturally stick around for long because they bind with other chemicals, are abundant on Earth largely thanks to the living creatures that expel them. Finding both of these chemicals around another planet would be a strong indicator for the presence of life. In two new papers to appear in the Astrophysical Journal and the Astronomical Journal, don't confuse them, Caltech researchers demonstrate how this new technique called high dispersion chronography could be used to look for extraterrestrial biosignatures with the planned 30-meter telescope, which, when completed by the late 2020s, will be the world's largest optical telescope. Now, this advance comes just after astronomers announced the discovery that seven Earth-sized planets orbit a star called TRAPPIST-1. Three of the planets reside in the habitable zone, the region around the star where liquid water is most likely to exist on the surface of a rocky planet. Other potential habitable worlds have also been discovered in recent years, leaving many people wondering, how do we find out if these planets actually host life? Now, using theoretical and laboratory models, the researchers show that their new technique could determine biosignatures on Earth-like planets around M dwarf stars, which are smaller and cooler than our sun and the most common type of star in the galaxy. The strategy could also be used on stars like our own sun using future space telescopes such as NASA's proposed habitable exoplanet. I love the word habitable. It just rolls off the...
And you say it so well.
I don't know about that. Habitable exoplanet imaging mission, HABEX, and large UV optical IR surveyor. I like the Louvoir.
Very French.
It's very French. We've shown this technique works in theory and in the lab, so our next step is to show it works on the sky. Whew, Boy, that was clumsy. Says Ji Wang, one of the lead authors of the two new papers. Stop it. Of the two new papers and a postdoctoral scholar in research. In research leader Dmitry Mawit's Exoplanet Technology Laboratory. The new technique involves three main components: a chronograph, a set of optical fibers, and a high-resolution spectrometer. Chronographs are the devices used in telescopes to block or remove starlight so that planets can be imaged. Stars outshine their planets by a few thousand to a few billion times, making the planets difficult to see. What this means is that in Mawit's method, the chronograph does not have to be as good at shifting out starlight as was thought necessary to characterize Earth-like worlds. Now, there is much more to this story, and I did my best to cut out bits so that it was still understandable yet brief, but you can go to the show notes and click the link there for futurity.org for more on this story.
This is why I don't pick the science stories, because they're so hard to sum up in a short period of time.
They are, yes, because there's a lot in there.
This seems
twice.
This seems very interesting, and I like the fact that every year we're getting better and better at detecting these planets and finding out more about these planets, especially how far we are away from them. It's amazing what we can learn from hundreds of light years away.
Yes. It's so awesome.
So I'm trying to think of a question to ask you guys about this. So this is going to be done by the late 2020s, this 30-meter telescope?
Are they
going to be able to use this technique before that is done in other ways? Did I just trip you up?
I'm trying to come up with a decent answer. I don't know. Ask the question one more time, and I'll see if I can come up with a good answer for you.
Okay, there's this telescope that will be completed by the late 2020s.
Yes.
The world's largest optical telescope.
Correct.
Will they be able to use this new technique with other telescopes?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they were talking about... there we go.
Yeah, those...
The strategy could also be used on stars like our own sun using future space telescopes such as NASA's proposed habitable exoplanet imaging mission.
Okay.
So I think they might have to have beefier equipment, but the whole... technique is sound and can be scaled to a larger, more powerful version, perhaps.
I have a great analogy for this. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, the technology that Apple has, the Force Touch, where you press it and you get more information. You had to have the iPhone 6 and 7 in order to use that. So it's kind of like the same thing. You know, or a faster processor to be able to use certain technology. That's exactly what this sounds like. You know, you can't just update it with the firmware. You have to have the hardware to go along with it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the late 2020s for this interesting new technology to be to start being used. So we can... learn the crap out of the galaxy.
And find new planets to mine, like Avatar, and get unobtainium.
You know, I really hope that when we do go out into the galaxy and the solar system that we're still not assholes. Like, we've evolved, and we're not like the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, you know?
I hope, but I really think that... there is going to be an expectation of, we spent all this money to get out here, we better bring something back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So greed will rule the day, even when the day is 2255.
I think so. We don't seem to be moving in the Star Trek type trajectory, so no.
That's upsetting.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com, or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks, or click on the icons at gncast.com.
What's been going on the last week since we last met here on the Alien Invasion with you guys? So what's been going on?
Speaking of meeting, we got to see JF and Amy Frost in Chicago.
Oh,
yeah, we did.
Neat. I saw the picture of you guys with Amy Frost, but there was nothing about JF.
My phone died, so I really didn't have the ability to take pictures anymore.
He's actually a vampire, so he doesn't show up in pictures.
He doesn't show up in photos, but he does on webcam, so imagine that. He's a hybrid vampire.
It's only when he wants to. That's what it is.
Yeah, we should really fill people in on who these people are, just because they've not been on this podcast, but they've been on other podcasts on our network. So J.F. Dubow is an author, and he likes to make models. He likes to make these little miniatures, and that's why he was in Chicago for Adepticon, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And you guys were in Chicago for?
Fan Fest. Heroes and Villains and Walker Stalker.
All right. Did they live up to the hype? The two of them?
Amy's a hugger, that's for sure. as soon as we saw her, it's like, she came over and gave us hugs. And JF, God bless him. It seemed like he was stuck, like, oh man, maybe I should give
hugs too.
She
gave them a hug. I suppose I should do that too.
And then he followed it up with a handshake.
Growly Bear says, you were lucky Amy was not a dramatic music face hugger. Keep with the theme of the show.
Yes, you are yes, you are very right.
You guys wouldn't be here if that was the case.
Or partway through the show, something would pop.
That would make for our most downloads ever.
It would. But then if it came out singing the
Hello My Darling, Hello
Michigan Rag.
Yeah.
Then it would probably be taken off of YouTube, and then nobody would ever get to see it.
And you know, it was just really nice to actually see them. You know, we do the show through the interwebs, and you know that the person is real, but that's just that extra bit of connection that you get when you actually can be in the same place at the same time with a person.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really great to see them. And then we got to see the work that JF and his team had done, which it's
really quite impressive, and they won some awards for it.
Yes.
So
they win every year. they deserve it, because the talent, and not to, it sounds like JF is kind of the coordinator and captain of the team, and he does not all the work, but he does a lot of work on this, and he's a go-getter, and he really likes to tear into something and get it done. So he really did it. He tore in there and got a whole bunch of stuff done, and it's just absolutely gorgeous work.
If you would like to hear Amy and JF on a podcast, they have one called the Overcast Podcast. It's all about Overwatch. And JF's book is
A God in the Shed.
God in the Shed. And what's the one previous to that? The Life Engineered.
Life Engineered, yes.
Yep.
And Amy has an Etsy shop, right? Does she still run that? She's still doing that?
Yes. As far as I know, she does.
Do you remember I didn't know she had an Etsy shop. Do you remember Clearly, I'm not paying attention.
You guys remember the name of that? I forget what the name of that one is.
Oh, boy. It's Etsy.com/shop. Instant cosplay is what you're looking for.
Okay. Go there and buy something. I'm sure that Amy would greatly appreciate that.
And she does commission work.
Sounds like you had a lot of fun and looking forward to, I'm sure that you guys are looking forward to your next journey elsewhere in the world.
Absolutely. Oh, we got to see so many of the people from the CW shows that we talk about.
Really?
Yep.
Like
we didn't actually, like we walked through the signing area. We went and, you know, like put our hands up over our eyes to block out the sun and squint and go, oh, there's Katie Cassidy. And, oh, hey, there's
Willa.
Yeah.
There were a lot of familiar faces. And holy man, the line for
Jeffrey Dean Morgan
was incredibly long.
It was, I would be surprised if everybody got through in that line within 3 hours, maybe four.
Jeffrey,
it was that long.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is that?
Negan.
Oh, Negan.
On the Walking
yeah,
Dead.
Oh, I was playing Negan. Say it's Morgan. Negan. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. And there were lots of people cosplaying as Negan and a few cosplaying as Lucille the Bat.
Oh, you guys are going to like this. Wait until the end. Don't leave. UFO hunters claimed the footage caught by cameras on board the International Space Station and released online by NASA was conclusive proof aliens exist. The video, uploaded to several UFO websites, shows Samantha Cristoforetti, an Italian-European Space Agency astronaut, demonstrating how to operate window shutters on the ISS. I didn't know that they had window shutters. Interesting.
They got to block out the sun.
Do you think they get dust like the ones that we have here on Earth? Dust on the horizontal shades? I hate when that happens. Anyways, but as she talks to the camera, several white objects appear to come shooting into view. Tyler Glockner posted the footage, uploaded on March 18th, 2017, to his UFO Sightings YouTube channel, Secure Team. We've talked about them before. He described one of the unknown objects seen hurtling past the ISS as a smoking gun UFO. Secure Team 10 describes itself as an underground research team that exposes the truth about extraterrestrial and UFO cover-ups. It has been criticized by debunkers for knowingly misrepresenting anomalies in videos, something it denies. It is the latest in a string of claims by alien chasers that UFOs have been caught in the background of the ISS live stream cameras. But there is a major cover-up by NASA underway, with it often cutting off the camera once one comes into view. NASA, which says it has found no evidence yet of alien life during any of its missions, usually does not respond to such claims. This is possibly because so many are made. But following the latest claims, the agency issued a statement. So this is very unusual for NASA. It said, "No unidentified objects in the popular sense have been seen in the International Space Station or from the International Space Station. Reflections from station windows, the spacecraft structure itself, or lights from Earth commonly appear as artifacts in photos and videos from the orbiting laboratory." Last year, veteran American astronaut Tom Jones...
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Thank you. Also dispelled the myth. He said astronauts have not seen any evidence of alien life, except for in that movie Life. Reports of unidentified flying objects and images returned from the shuttle or space station have turned out to be ice crystals, drifting orbital debris, lightning flashes, or meteors streaking through the dark atmosphere below. So far, our search for extraterrestrial life and other civilizations in space has turned up no proof of alien civilizations. Now, here's the part that you two will love. Conspiracy theorists like Scott C. Waring, who runs...
Who's that guy?
Who runs the website UFOSightingsDaily.com, claim that NASA and Mr. Jones and me are just part of the cover-up, and he dismisses their explanations, convinced that every bright light or blurred object seen on camera in the distance from the ISS is an alien spacecraft. Now, I watched the video, and it could just be like something going through the atmosphere. But then I saw it change direction. So who knows? Or it could just be like something going through the atmosphere, and because it's like coming through like a window or something like that, maybe it looks like it's changing direction through the prism of the window. I've been tempted before to bring these stories to the podcast because there's been so many reports of people thinking they see something from the ISS live stream. And there's seems like there's one every single week. But I thought, you know what? Since NASA is responding to this, let's talk about it.
As well we should.
And I encourage our listeners and you two, not the band you two, but you guys, to watch the video and let us know what you think of it. Just need some other eyes on it. Just a second opinion. So check it out. We'll put the we'll have the link in the show notes. You can watch the video for yourself, and you can be the judge. Is it space debris? Is it artifacts from light, from like reflection in the mirror from the station itself? Could it be somebody having a cigarette outside?
Could it be a chupacabra?
You tell us. You be the judge, Dredd.
So, I am the law.
So any thoughts on this, guys?
Scott C. Waring has a very vivid imagination.
He kind of does.
It kind of makes the world go around, right? I mean, we can't all...
It does.
We can't all be boxed into our little, you know, not thinking outside the box. I have a lot of boxes going on here.
Are they nesting? Yeah. Are they side by side?
Nesting boxes. No, I'm just saying that, you know, we get stuck in a certain worldview and a certain thought process that maybe it's good to have somebody that has a good has a crazy imagination. You know, we need that in the world.
If you like what you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, please consider helping us out financially by going to gncast.com/support. On that page, you'll find links to our Patreon campaign where you can make a small recurring monthly pledge of as little as $1. Or click on our Amazon affiliate link, make a purchase, and we get a very small percentage from the sale. Again, go to gncast.com/support. And thank you for supporting the Galactic Network podcast.
California is the top destination for UFOs.
That's no surprise whatsoever.
Whoop, whoop.
Regardless of whether the truth is really out there, the majority of Americans reporting UFO sightings are in California, including parts of the San Diego area where a number of sightings were reported as recently as last week. And that's according to, cue the creepy music, the National UFO Reporting Center, or also known as NUFORC. California leads the nation with some 16,000 UFO sightings listed in two databases, the National UFO Reporting Center and the Mutual UFO Network. MUFON. The San Francisco Chronicle reported on Wednesday, Florida, Texas, Washington State, and Pennsylvania trail behind California. Stories about extraterrestrials and their spaceships shot up this month with the release of a new reference book by UFO columnist Cheryl Costa that looks at trends found in those two databases. The UFO Sightings Desk reference, United States of America, 2001 to 2015, analyzed more than 100,000 UFO sightings reported in the U.S. The news also spurred chatter on Twitter and elsewhere on social media, where people shared their enthusiasm, or lack thereof, of having little green men visit Earth. UFO sightings are often dismissed by skeptics due to lack of credible evidence or testimony. But out of curiosity, we took a look at the data in the National UFO Reporting Center and found some information that should be interesting to Californians and San Diegans in particular. For example, earlier this month, someone reported seeing three orange lights form a triangle over Pacific from Mount Soledad. That was on Wednesday, March 15th. Then on Tuesday, March 21st, someone reported a rapid blinking light in the skies over Miramar. If you fancy taking a look at the reports, you can find them here. And here would be Newfork, NUFORC.org. By far, Los Angeles County outranks any other place in California and some 40 states in the nation with 3,200 sightings reported, Costa told the Chronicle.
You know, this is one of the cases of maybe it's just a matter of landmass and population, right? Because California is the biggest state in the continental U.S., and there's a whole ton of people in California. So,
no, they're not.
What? Oh, no, Texas, right? Texas.
Damn right.
But I'm thinking, Texas. Okay, they're not the biggest, but I think they've got the biggest population and compared to their landmass. So there's more people with their eyes up in the sky, so they're getting a... the chance of seeing something is greater.
Yeah. Population-wise, California would be bigger, followed by Texas. Land-wise, Texas is bigger.
Okay. Of course, Hollywood is known affectionately as Holly Weird. So one could argue that there's a more colorful population living in California.
Hollyweed.
There's also that. I believe that they exist. I just don't believe that they exist that much as what people are seeing. I like the fact that Florida is in second place. That seems about right.
Seems
it's
legit.
All the old people without their glasses.
Or their glasses that they forgot to clean like over the last month, and it's spots on their glasses.
That could be.
That's me by the end of the day. I don't know how I do it, but my glasses get really dirty.
I think we solved the whole seeing lights on the ISS live feed. Maybe they're just forgetting to clean the glass.
Maybe.
Spots on the glass. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
This is the segment where we talk about something that somebody has seen in the sky. Could be an extraterrestrial craft or swamp gas. Or what are some of the other excuses?
Venus.
There you go. So it's Brad's turn to bring something for the sighting. So what did you bring?
I brought the funk, Dave. I brought the funk.
I knew it.
Actually, I brought something from 1566.
Holy crap. That's old.
Yes. It's a celestial phenomenon over...
Phenomenon.
Basel, Switzerland. And it's an event that took place, as I said, in 1566. And this event happened over a number of days. It happened July 25th through the 28th, and then again on August 7th. Now, the local witnesses reported seeing three celestial phenomena. The first is described as an unusual sunrise. The second was as a total eclipse of the moon with a red sun rising. And the third, like a cloud of black spheres in front of the sun. Now, this was translated, and what the text says is this. It happened in 1566 three times, on the 27th and the 28th of July, and on August 7th, against the sunrise and sunset, we saw strange shapes in the sky above Basel. During the year 1566, on the 27th of July, after the sun had shone warm on the clear, bright skies, and then around 9 p.m., he suddenly took a different shape and color. I think he being the sun. First, the sun lost all its radiance and luster, and it was no bigger than the full moon. And finally, it seemed to weep tears of blood, and the air behind him went dark. And he was seen by all the people of the city and countryside. I guess the sun was very much a person at this point in time. In much the same way, also, the moon, which has already been almost full and has shone through the night, assuming an almost blood-red color in the sky. The next day, Sunday, the sun rose at about 6 o'clock and slept with the same appearance it had when it was lying before. The sun lit the houses, streets, and around as if everything was blood red and fiery. Oh, he is the event. Oh, weird. At the dawn of August 7th, we saw large black spheres coming and going with great speed and precipitation before the sun and chattered as if they led a fight. Many of them were fiery red and soon crumbled and then extinguished.
I love the wording.
Yeah. Oh, what is the line from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle? From A Scandal in Bohemia, leave it to the Germans to brutalize verbs or something like that. It's not an exact quote, but it's a
paraphrase.
A paraphrase, as it were. But anyways, we've talked time and time again and we've seen, especially if you're listening to this and you're a UFO buff, you've heard that, you know, they've been documented throughout human history. So this is one of those events that was actually documented and written. If you folks are using the YouTubes right now, I will share this with you. This is a copy or a picture of the document of which this was translated from, and you can see the artist's conception of the black spheres and the red spheres traveling in front of the sun.
I've seen this picture before.
Yeah. And what I read is an excerpt from the document here. So, yeah. Kind of a big deal.
I love the fact that we've had these sightings for so long. Like, it traced way back. I mean, there's stories from the Bible, from biblical times of strange phenomena in the sky. Did you get this from the Wikipedia article that lists, like, basically the chronology of UFO sightings?
I did.
I love that Wikipedia article. Yes. So interesting.
If you get the chance, I highly recommend it.
You can find all kinds of cool stuff on the Wikipedia.
Kids love the Wikipedias.
Hauntings, sky sounds, parallel universes, monster sightings, the New World Order, ghost ships, urban legends, mysterious radio broadcasts, and secret government facilities are just a few things we've talked about on Weird World Weekly. Listen to find out what's next. Go to gncasts.com/weird to listen. Find out more and subscribe to the podcast that discusses the paranormal mythological, conspiratorial, unexplained, or anything else we think is a little strange and out of the ordinary. It's all on Weird World Weekly, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
Let's talk about some things that we have enjoyed or not over the last week related to aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, that kind of stuff. And it's picks and warnings. Looks like Anessa is up first.
Yep. I have a short film that I watched called In the Pines. I came across it on Gizmodo. IO9 Gizmodo. I don't know which I was on. And I was reading the little blurb about it, and I'll go ahead and read it. It says, there's no dialogue in Zeke Earle and Chris Caldwell's In the Pines, just a rambling voicemail message that plays as the unnamed protagonist hikes a forested mountain trail to the top, sets up listening equipment like a lo-fi version of Jodie Foster in Contact, and waits for the UFO she's sure will arrive. In the Pines is so short that you don't get to know much about the troubled young woman, but you can tell by the reaction in the voicemail recipient, her mother, that her behavior is both deeply worrisome and irritatingly familiar. Whether or not the film was actually about mental illness or aliens is made, I guess, kind of clear at the end. So the like it says, you have this individual who has called and left her mother a really long voicemail, which I was not aware that you could leave someone an 8-minute long voicemail, because normally I get the, your time's up, goodbye. but anyway, she ends up talking about how she had this experience 2 years ago, and she knows that her mother does not actually believe her, like what she's saying happened. Even though her mother says that she does, and she says it's probably because of her psychiatrist. And so she's basically saying, you know, like, I'm going out to this place. This is where I've left my car and my keys. I've done this before many times, and I'm going to go find this UFO, this alien ship that I can feel calling me. So off she goes. And, you know, she continues talking about everything, her experiences, what it's like. It's kind of, I thought it was interesting. I like that you kind of wonder about whether her experience was real or in her head. So I'm not going to say either way, but I like that they do kind of make you wonder like what's going on here. So, it's like I said, it's 8 minutes long, cause it's about as long as the voicemail. I found it on Gizmodo.
It's a cool concept.
I thought it was a great concept. And, you know, visually, as you know, they don't have her just walking the entire time for the video. You have her mother standing there. You can see how she's reacting and what she's doing. You can see the daughter walking through the woods. And as she's walking through the woods, they cut to some really pretty nature scenes. Like you see like up close images and film of like various insects and streams and like just all sorts of stuff. Like these are the things that she's passing up. This is nature. She's out in nature. So if anything, if you hate the video, you'll at least see some pretty cool shots, especially when it comes to the insects. They're very clear macro, not photography, but I guess videography.
You know, it sounds like this movie appeals to a lot of different types of people, you know, the alien lovers and the nature lovers.
Alien lovers, nature lovers, probably psych majors.
Fans of voice messages.
Fans of voicemails. Yeah. On a voicemail related note, in order to forward a voicemail at work, you have to leave a voicemail to the person that you're forwarding the voicemail to. So it makes me think of the Pimp Your Ride theme, where it's like, yo, I heard you like voicemail, so I left a voicemail while leaving you a voicemail. while forwarding a voicemail, so you can listen to your voicemails while you check your voicemails. I mean, yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's a really long voicemail. I'm impressed at how long that will actually let you her record.
Well, was it on a cell, like a digital?
No, it was like a home phone.
Okay.
So, I mean, even then, like, I remember those having like a time limit of like 30 mm-hmm. seconds, because I remember having to call customers and leave them a voicemail. And if it had more information than, you know, not necessarily necessary, but if they had questions, then you're like, hey, I'm calling to let you know about your flight. Here's all this information. Here's our phone number. Here's our hours. Call us back. And, you know, by the time I'm leaving the phone number, it's like, hey, you're out of time.
Yeah.
Would you like to re-record your message? Or sometimes you didn't get that option. So
I remember,
like, hey, I was leaving your voicemail. Here's our number. Goodbye.
You get cut off and you call back and continue the message. I've done that before.
Yeah. So like I said, I was really impressed at the duration of the voicemail.
All right. So rating time. How many flying saucers does In the Pines get?
I would give it 3.5, I think.
All right. That's healthy. That's respectable. All right. So my pick this week is a documentary series called How the World Ends. I picked something cheery, happy, positive, How the World Ends. And their episode, Aliens Invade. This is a fairly new documentary series. I don't know. I think it's in the States. It's on a channel called American Heroes Channel. But it's a different channel here in Canada. And it's a fairly new series. Like, this episode it premiered in January, February, I think, of this year. So here's the synopsis I got from a website called BroadwayWorld.com. With the recent discovery of thousands of Earth-like planets in the universe, refer to the beginning of this episode where we talk about that thing, that kind of thing. The search for intelligent alien life continues. Some astronomers warn that when we find it, we should be prepared for an advanced, hostile, extraterrestrial species capable of and intent on wiping out planet Earth with superior weapons and technology. But others believe that an attack has already started and an insidious takeover is underway. So they get into all the different aspects of the extraterrestrial subject. And it features a couple of my favorite people. Phil Plate, he's an astronomer. He writes The Bad Astronomer column.
The Bad Astronomer is a book. He doesn't work for Discovery anymore.
He does a column for Blaster.com.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
I don't know what that's called, though.
Okay. So they're a couple of the panelists. There's a bunch of other people. I forget who else. It starts with them talking about the War of the Worlds and how that kind of opened the can of worms, kind of opened Pandora's box. And ever since then, we've had aliens have been in the public conscience of the world. So they talk about planet hunting and looking for alien signals. Also, if aliens have the technology to get here, we have no hope against them because they have to get through space. And in order to do that, traveling at light speed or more, you'd have to have some kind of force field to protect against debris in space, right? So in order for us to attack them, they'd have some kind of like force field or shield, and we wouldn't be able to penetrate that. So think of Independence Day, the movie. And that's pretty much the general idea of that there. So they talk about all kinds of different things. They talk about, you know, the history of UFO encounters, Betty and Barney Hill, Roswell, up until recent times. They also talk about they also highlighted a person who believes that aliens are here and they read your mind, or they're trying to, I forget exactly how they put it, but they read minds, and certain people are affected by it more than others. And this one person is actually making a profit off of these basically tinfoil hats. It's this technology that blocks the signals from the aliens. So you can actually buy their hats online. And he does a pretty bang up business around that. So it's a hodgepodge of different alien aspects of the alien and extraterrestrial subject, whatever. So they talk about aliens actually confronting us with ships and technology. And another aspect is that the aliens are already here. They're just undercover. And the reason that we don't see them is they're using telepathy to block their real appearance. So there's that. And I'd recommend it. I'm going to give it a Nessus score of 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers. How the World Ends, Aliens Invade. Go watch it if you can. If you have, what's the channel called again? American Heroes Channel. You guys don't have that. Or you don't have cable, do you?
Narp.
Nope.
Okay. All right. So, Brad, wrapping up picks, what do you got?
I watched a thing, and it was very interesting. The end.
Amazing.
Yep.
Wow, right. Greatest review ever.
Ever. No, it was a short film, about 15 minutes or so, called The Enemy Within, from a group from Australia, and it's a very well done, well shot. The effects are really good. The basic premise is it's not found footage, but it starts with a man and a woman, and they're out on a date, and they happen to be in Australia. And we are immediately given the impression that the male of the couple is not really prone to fighting. He really doesn't have that in him to fight for something. And this comes to the fore a little later on. There's all of a sudden a very loud explosion, and people are running towards the couple, and they're trying to escape. And we're still seeing this through the camera. And at the end of this particular segment, this shadowy thing like lands in front of them and come out of nowhere, and just, you see this like four-fingered hand just come out and swipe and hit the camera. And everything fades to black. And a few days later, as time flows into blackness, the girlfriend is pregnant. And she is going to have a baby. And we come to find out that she was scratched, and the scratch impregnated her.
Hmm.
So they are looking for a place to kind of hide and get away. They end up running into a building, and there is a man kind of standing in the darkness, and they begin to have a discussion. Now, I don't want to give too much away on this, but it was really well done, very suspenseful, and I think it was really designed as a proof of concept, you know, like first 15 minutes, or at least 15 minutes of part of the film, to kind of give you a taste and maybe get backing to do a larger version of the film. Like I said, the effects are really good. The story is really good. There is a twist you kind of see coming, but the way it's executed is still really kind of good. And then the very ending, there's a like another twist that happens too. I really enjoyed it. I would give it 4 flying saucers out of 5.
All right. Highest score of the episode goes to Brad.
Woohoo!
All right, so in review, Brad had The Enemy Within, a YouTube short video, short film. I had How the World Ends, Aliens Invade. And Anessa had In the Pines. And we'll have the links to all these in the show notes, and you can check out for yourself.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
So that's going to do it for this edition of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. We'd like to thank a number of people, including Monkey Warhol, for giving us our intro music, a song called Alien Syndrome. You can find out more about his stuff or listen to more of his stuff at soundcloud.com/monkeywarhol or check out his new EP called EP4 at monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also, thank you very much to Retward von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for the closing music called Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at thecaravel.net. And finally, thanks to Ben Olson for recording the disclaimer at the very beginning of the episode. So, final thoughts. Brad, what do you got?
I wish I could find the link to Enemy Within here, and I can't seem to find it again. It's like this movie that I saw it and now it's disappeared.
Oh, it's a conspiracy.
It's all in your mind.
It's all in your mind, Quay.
All right. Anessa, what do you got? What do you got?
I really want a Populele.
Fair enough.
What? What? Huh?
A company has started an Indiegogo for a souped up version of a ukulele. And they call it a Populele, and the fretboard will light up as far as where you need to put your fingers, which is kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
And there's an app that you can use for a tuner and like to learn like different songs. And I just thought it was kind of cool. And I've always wanted to learn how to play the ukulele. So I thought that'd be kind of a neat way to learn.
I apologize. The name of the video was The Army Within.
Okay. You were probably thinking The Enemy Within, right?
Well, it definitely was an enemy. So yes, The Army Within.
All right, we'll make that correction. Thank you.
We'll fix it in post.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. As always, appreciate it. And until we meet again, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.